The following is a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncast.com.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 200!
Holy crap, we hit 200.
All right, that's the extent of our celebration. The way I said that, 200, that's it.
We're a low-budget production, so that's all the fanfare you're going to get.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier. Like, I don't want us to make a big deal out of a number, right? Because anybody can do 200 episodes of a podcast.
Can they?
You just keep on doing it, and eventually you'll get there. I want us to recognize, like, if we win an award someday or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, maybe 10 years we'll do something special, but 200, just another number. I don't care. So, on with the show. This is the podcast where we talk about extraterrestrials from elsewhere in the galaxy and their appearances in sci-fi, science, and in real life. Thanks to Monkey Warhol for giving us our opening music. The song is called Alien Syndrome. You can find it at soundcloud.com/monkeywarhol. soundcloud.com/monkeywarhol. For the past couple episodes, I've had a question to kick off the show. And this was not in our prepared document, guys. So this is going to throw you for a loop. Is that a thing?
A loop?
A loop. Throw you for a loop. I ate some drinks earlier. Apologies.
That's okay. You could throw us for a loofah. That'd be something.
I need a new loofah. Mine's getting kind
of loose. You do need a new loofah poo.
200 episodes. What has been, if you can think back, what was your favorite thing that we've talked about on this podcast?
Balls.
Yeah, that's not really a thing anymore. You were saying balls pretty regularly for a while there, Anessa.
Well, there was the Weekly World News, and they had like the weird golden balls all over Mexico. And
yeah.
So I was messing with Dave and seeing how many times I could say balls in an episode.
I miss handling the ball stories.
Yeah.
I really do. Not going to lie. You know, I kind of miss talking about the Gutens and getting back to Weekly World News.
Yeah, and I've looked at their website, like, I think maybe a month ago, and there's, like, nothing new. It's still, like, Bat Boy. But their Facebook page has been updating lately, though. So I don't know if they're going to start getting back into actually posting stories again.
Well, that'd be something.
So,
well, if you're listening out there, Weekly World News, get on it. Come on. We miss the Gutens.
We miss you.
We missed the, what was the other race? We had the Gutens, then we had the,
oh,
I made
crap.
T-shirts for both of them. I forget.
Oh, man. Hang on.
Gutens and
Zeebens.
The Zeebens. There you go.
Yep. How soon they forget.
I know.
I miss Brad's pince-nez. His pince-nez.
You know, I wish I could find that darn thing.
Hey, look at me go.
What? Oh, if only our video camera worked right now.
I
you can't see this, even if you're checking us out on the YouTubes, but yes, I now am in possession of the pince-nez.
Yay.
And I will have this by my part of the studio seat that I have.
Okay.
I'm putting it right here so that when we have the camera up and running again, I will wear the pince-nez.
In the news,
I found a really cool exoplanet type story because I really want us to find life on alien planet or, you know, exoplanets, planets that are not within our solar system. And by God, this is not one of them.
Wait a second, Brad. I think we have a new feature. It's called Exoplanet of the Week. We need to get a jingle. We need to get some kind of custom graphic for this. Some whoosh.
Wait,
Exoplanets.
There we go.
New episode 200, new feature from now on.
Exoplanet of the week.
Yes.
Exoplanets.
Of the week. Week.
Thanks. So this planet, HD189733b, it is a beautiful looking blue dot in a sea of inky blackness, just like the Earth. But that's where the similarities end between the two worlds.
Oh.
For starters, it's much bigger and hotter than Earth. It's about the size of Jupiter and zips around its host star in just 2.2 Earth days.
Oh, wow.
A year for the planet is 2.2 Earth days. That orbit is so close to the exoplanet, it's probably tidally locked, always showing one face to its star, just as the moon is always showing one face to the Earth. And then there's the weather. The winds on HD189733b, which lies about 63 light years from Earth in the constellation Vulpecula.
Volterran?
I like Vulpecula because that sounds guttural. They blow at about 5,400 miles per hour. And for those of you that use the metric system, that's 8,700 kilometers per hour, about seven times the speed of sound.
You know how on the Weather Channel they have the people that do the stand-ups for the hurricanes? That would be impossible on that planet.
Well, it's the wind blows at Mach 7.
Holy crap. All righty then.
I want to put this into perspective.
Wow.
Our like fighter planes and things like that, Mach 2, Mach 3. I'm not sure if we've had one go beyond that. I don't have, I haven't done any research on that.
Not that you know of.
But a wind blows at Mach 7.
Wow.
And if that's not crazy enough for you, scientists think the rain on this world is not made of water, but of molten glass.
Holy crap. It's like nightmares of nightmares right here.
Yeah, pretty much. Why then does this bizarre planet appear so superficially Earth-like? It's just a coincidence, scientists say. The cobalt blue color comes not from the reflection of a tropical ocean as on Earth, but rather a hazy, blowtorched atmosphere containing high clouds laced with silicate particles. There may be a lot of ocean-free blue planets out there, and indeed, scientists know of two in Earth's own solar system, Uranus and Neptune. The upper atmospheres of both of these ice giants contain methane, which reflects blue wavelengths of sunlight back into space. Now, HD189733b was discovered in 2005, and scientists figured out its color in 2013 using the Hubble Space Telescope and some other instruments. The exoplanet is one of six highlighted in NASA's Galaxy of Horrors.
Wow.
A special Halloween gallery that the space agency put together this year. And you can check that out at alien-worlds/galaxy-of-horrors.
They need a bit.ly link for that.
They kind of do, but we'll have the link in the show notes so people can check it out. But I like that. NASA's Galaxy of Horrors. Visit these planets if you want to die.
It sounds like a 1950s like alien horror film.
Oh, it does.
It does.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it does. So, yeah, for as much as we want to find, and we've identified many exoplanets, and as they are going to be going through the data and actually checking out what these planets are made of, I think we're going to get a lot more like this. Because, you know, the habitable zone, as we have talked about in the past, it's usually a very thin line between yay or nay for it to be able to support any kind of plant life, microbial life, or whatever. So I think we're going to find a lot of exoplanets that are true horrors in the galaxy.
Horrors? That's not very nice.
Horrors.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I bet you there are some horror planets, though.
Boy, if only we did comedic titles to shows. Galaxy of Horrors.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
I'm shaking my head.
Yes, she is. Disapprovingly.
If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks or click on the icons at gncast.com.
Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Reynolds, they're in a movie. And in that movie, they're discovering an alien organism that's going to kill them.
Yay.
Just to add to this, we saw... Oh, crap. What did we just see in the theater? Dang it all.
What did you go see?
Jack Reacher?
Oh, yeah. It was the new Jack Reacher film, Never Go Back. And it was one of the trailers that they showed.
Was that The Arrival?
No. The Arrival.
No, it's this one that we're talking about right now.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, the trailer... Yeah,
so...
The trailer for this movie that I'm talking about is, the movie's called Life, and it just premiered Sunday night on The Walking Dead. When did you go see the movie?
We saw it
a week ago.
Not yesterday, Wednesday, but the week before.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a week and a day ago.
Must have been in theaters before they released it online. Okay.
Probably, yeah.
So anyways, why didn't we know about this movie? It just popped up out of nowhere. My wife were sitting there watching The Walking Dead going, this looks amazing, but why haven't we heard anything about this?
Yeah, I don't know. I was actually very surprised when we saw the trailer for it, because it, like you said, out of the blue, and we usually are looking for stuff like this all the time.
Yeah,
so.
You think that it would have popped up on the show, like, because... So-and-so is producing a film about blah, blah, blah. You know, we're always doing searches for alien stuff. So you'd think this would have gotten on our radar at some point.
At some point, sure.
Yeah.
I think I might have made a trip to the restroom because I don't remember the trailer.
Okay.
No, it was the guy had his hand inside of the thing and he's... Because they had managed to get a little sample of it, and it was like standing up out of the petri dish, and it was like moving around. It was only like a little, yeah. Maybe you did go on pee, but I just wow, it was scary. It was very scary.
This comes out.
I'm sitting through a political ad, so I could see the preview to see if it rings any bells. But no.
Yeah, continue. I'm sorry, Dave.
And that's okay. This comes out May 26th, 2017. And yeah, they released the trailer this week, like I said, and it looks crazy. Like, it looks all happy. They're on the International Space Station. They're a bunch of astronauts. They're standing around this like what would you describe that? Like a clean room.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's got his hand in there and he's like messing with this. It's like a one celled organism that kind of freaks out on him. And kills the guy, and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah. We put up the trailer on our website, gncasts.com, so you can check it out there. And we'll have the link in the show notes as well. And it looks awesome. I definitely intend to check it out. The trailer is done very well, too. They used John F. Kennedy's speech from 1962, the moon speech. You know that one.
Okay, sure.
And it starts out with that. It's very hopeful. And then like I said, all hell breaks loose in this single cell. It's something that supposedly they found on Mars, and they're like, oh, our mission is finally successful. We have found life, and it doesn't want us to be around or whatever. It doesn't want to be found. It's fighting back.
Yeah, it does not seem happy by any stretch of the imagination.
So we got some good alien movies coming up. We've got that. We have what's the one that you Anessa, you mentioned real quick that I can't remember the name for right now.
The Arrival.
That comes out very soon.
Yeah.
We got some great movies coming out.
Then it's next week.
This winter, because we have Doctor Strange this week. We've got The Arrival. We have Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. That's coming up. What else? Star Wars Rogue One, also in theaters next month. So a lot of good stuff. Then this movie coming out in the spring. So yeah, good times at the theater. Looking forward to it. Yay movies.
Word.
If you like what you've heard on this Galactic Network podcast, please consider helping us out financially by going to gncast.com/support. On that page, you'll find links to our Patreon campaign where you can make a small recurring monthly pledge of as little as $1. Or click on our Amazon affiliate link, make a purchase, and we get a very small percentage from the sale. Again, go to gncast.com/support. And thank you for supporting the Galactic Network podcast.
Aliens will take over the Earth by stealth rather than a full-on invasion.
Ooh.
And their coup is already happening.
Goo goo.
Donald
Flash.
Is it Donald Trump?
It has. We'll get to stuff and things. I'm not saying it's Trump.
Oh, no.
Not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens. So, the person claiming this is a woman who says that she's an alien hybrid, and she's revealing this shocking information to us. So, UFO conspiracy theorists claim a secret program of abductions has seen a species of alien-human hybrids created on Earth, and you could be one of them. That's right. You, fellow listener, could be an alien-human hybrid. So, as mentioned, a woman who claimed her mother, who was snatched on several occasions, has boldly associated herself as a hybrid. I will help mankind go through their transition in the fourth and fifth world. Leisha claims she is one of millions of humans alive today, which are genetically engineered alien-human hybrids, meaning their mother was abducted and injected with alien DNA while the infant was still in the womb. X-Files much? Gray and reptilian aliens reportedly inject so-called alien DNA into human abductees' eggs and sperm, according to the bizarre conspiracy theory. The bizarre processes occurred during abductions, alien hunters claim. Predominantly human hybrids can be carried in the wombs of women, while mainly aliens can only coexist in out of space environments, the unproven theory proposed. And what a poorly written unproven theory. Although there is no definite way to prove if someone is an alien-human hybrid, researchers claim to have sussed out a way to test it. UFO blogger and alien hunter Scott C. Wary claims humans know if they have alien DNA, as it is a natural animal instinct, and they may experience deja vu and a lack of connection with the outside world, he suggested. That explains my deja vu earlier. I am an alien-human hybrid.
Holy crap.
I know.
Breaking news.
Oh, man. So, he said, like an animal born with the knowledge of flying south for the winter, it is in you without any reason as to how you got it. Then you may be an alien-human hybrid. This comes amid claims millions of people in the world have alien blood. Would that mean that people with AB positive blood would be alien-human hybrids?
Throwback.
I know. So earlier this year, express.co.uk revealed claims author Miguel Mendonca or Mendonca had interviewed several of the so-called hybrids for his book, Meet the Hybrids. In it, some hybrids interviewees claimed to have had metal objects implanted inside of them. But Mr. Mendonca said he had decided not to put the subjects of his book through lie detectors, DNA tests, or scans to detect for implants, and had taken their claims at face value. That's a lot of trust. I'm just saying.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were done or not. Sorry.
Sorry. That's where the story ends for me. So that's it. That's as far as express.co.uk bothered to write that story.
What's your takeaway there, Anessa? What are you getting out of this article?
What else does Scott C. Waring do for a living?
I don't know. Well, he's got to make some money off the website, right? So I'm sure that
he does it for a living. True. I'm sure he gets donations and stuff. And good for him for being able to support himself and his family.
So this is a very slow invasion. This is probably the slowest invasion that there's ever been.
This is going to take place over generations. I mean, yeah, you can't get much slower than that.
Well, I guess if you're going to have any kind of alien invasion, this is the best kind, right? Because
But then if we go into like the Third World War and then like all the population, Earth gets destroyed, then it's like you probably should have just been more aggressive.
Okay.
Be aggressive.
Update, by the way. Mm-hmm. Brad has his picture up.
I did have my picture up.
Oh, you did? Well, it's still up there for me. I can see it. Sporting
really?
The pince-nez. Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird because right now I'm not sharing my screen.
Oh, okay. I had it stuck on you. So.
Aw. I'm stuck on you too, Dave.
Aw. Bro moment.
Bro moment.
All right. There you go. That's.
Would that be a bromant?
That is a bromant.
I think we just made up a word.
We did.
Any thoughts on this story, Brad?
I want to know a lot of things here because that's really weird. I'm not sure I'm buying that.
So you don't think that you may be an alien and not know it?
No.
Apparently we would know if we were an alien hybrid.
Oh, because you would, it's like animal instinct. Is it what they
exactly.
said?
Exactly. It's okay. Like animal instinct. You would just know. So.
I think I am. I think I feel like I'm an alien.
Sweet.
There are times where I feel like I don't understand the English language.
Alien.
Yeah. And it's funny because like sometimes people will say something and I guess it just doesn't register what they're saying. And I feel bad because I'll ask them to repeat it. And I'm like, can you say it slower? I don't know. Maybe it's my inner alienness that's unable to process the dialogue at that time. Maybe my language translating chip, my implant is offline or something.
Just tap your head. like knock, when you knock. Have water in your ears from swimming.
Yeah.
That's got to be it.
So I could totally be an alien. That would explain absolutely nothing, though, except for the language thing.
If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Hi. Hello. Making a promo is hard. Hey, this is Brad Ludwig from the Adventure Party Podcast. Every Sunday, we talk about board games, card games, role-playing games, reindeer games... Co-host, friend, game designer, and gaming store manager Glenn Bittner reviews a game each week and recommends something to add to your library or game closet setup thing. Our Kickstarter spotlight shines on a game you should back with your hard-earned cash. We've picked successfully backed projects about 95% of the time. I really thought that airport board game from Russia was gonna fly. I shot that percentage right in the... We also chat with people who work in the game industry, or we pick an important topic that deals with some aspect of gaming. We welcome you to the Adventure Party.
Adventure Party is part of the Galactic Network. You can find us at gncasts.com.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was on circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
All right, time for sightings, sightings, sightings. This is stuff that people have supposedly seen, like a UFO that they see in the sky, or like some lights, maybe. What else? What's another general description of a UFO sighting?
General description?
Yeah. Missing time. Lights. Lights.
Yep.
Missing time. Messing with electricity or electronics.
Yep.
Flat out abduction.
Yeah. We've had that before as well. So what is this week, Brad?
Well, this week is something that actually happened in 1974.
Throwback.
And it took place in Wyoming. Now, this particular person reported this, actually sent it to the website here. It might have been part of MUFON's network, too.
Oh, hey, Brad?
Yes?
You're not saying it right.
Oh, I'm sorry. MUFON.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Thank you, David Duchovny. Ass. Anyways, so this particular person reported this actually yesterday, November the 2nd. And this is a nighttime, something that happened at night, and I've had to do all sorts of spelling corrections with this thing, so you know it's legit. Now, this particular person says, I did not see anything, but I was a missile mechanic on the Minuteman Threes in Wyoming. On the way to the silo, the change out warheads, we had a call down from helicopter that our convoy was being followed by a UFO. Upon breaking in, I'm going to read this as it is, and we'll try to decipher what's actually being said.
No, Brad, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun audio. So go for it.
This is going to be great audio.
Yeah.
Upon breaking in and open the door and PA hatch, a noise went off on the radio we had in the M van. It did not sound legit. Lots of static. I heard a rattling noise and went to the PA hatch. The ladder was rattling like crazy, but no one was down in the silo. Odd but true. The only thing I can possibly think that would cause such a thing was magnetism. No wind was blowing. No visual sightings were made. But think of what erases tapes. Magnetism.
How does it work?
Okay.
How does it work? Hope my little bit counts. It's been over 40 years now. I rule out other countries because they got the same complaints. I know that since then, our systems have been updated. Now, the duration of this, this person states, is 1 hour. It happened at night. It was definitely not natural, and it was unexplained. They never found a cause for it. And there you go. So what it sounds like is they were on a convoy taking some new warheads to change out. They must have regular maintenance for the warheads. That kind of makes sense. And the convoy was followed by a helicopter to, keep an eye on things, see if anybody was maybe trying to intercept the warheads. Again, that makes sense. Now, it sounds like upon getting to the where the silo location was, they opened the door and opened the hatch. The radios in the vehicle that they were in all went crazy. Lots of static. And they heard, as in cow heard, a rattling noise in the hatch. And it seemed like the ladder was shaking, but there was like nobody like actually physically holding it. There wasn't any earthquake that was causing that. It was just shaking on its own.
Okay.
And there was no one in the silo. This person believes that there was some magnetic disturbance because there was no wind. There was no other, nothing around that could possibly cause that. So this person believes it was some kind of strange magnetic event. Possibly, well, he's reporting it on a UFO website. So I'm going to think that he believes or she believes that this particular event was caused by some outside force, possibly alien.
Well, okay. The way that they're describing it sounds a lot like scenes that I've seen before in movies of aliens. Sure.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind is a great example of that.
That house when the
yes,
the just all hell breaks loose.
Yep,
things start rattling, start moving around. There's lights. Yeah. So possibly could be an alien. Definitely.
Yeah. So yeah, and you're reading this. Obviously, it was a little hard to get through, but it sounded like something truly interesting that leaves a lot to the imagination as to what could possibly have happened or what could have possibly caused it. So that's why I shared it with the class.
If you would like to chat with the hosts or other listeners of this Galactic Network podcast 24 hours a day, go to gncast.com/signup. We'll add you to our Slack team so you'll have the ability to interact with us in real time. Again, go to gncast.com/signup.
Okay, time for our picks and warnings. Picks and warnings. Picks and warnings. That's my little picks and warnings song.
Nice.
Just because you may not have figured that out.
These makes me think of the Love and Marriage song.
Yes, that's what I'm going by. That's my reference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotcha.
Okay, so these are things that we have maybe watched. Maybe we've played them. We've listened to them. We've made something related to aliens, extraterrestrials. And most times, it's things that we've watched. Except for Anessa's, which it seems like it's a game of some kind. What do you got?
It is. Okay, so a couple months or so ago, I had done a pick of a game called Lifeline. And the game was about this person named Taylor who was stranded on a moon. His ship had crashed and his crew don't know what happened to them. And he manages to get a signal out, or she, depending on how you have Taylor envisioned in your head. So Taylor manages to get a message out. And it reaches you, and it goes in real time. So Taylor's asking, like, where do you think I should go? What should I do? And you can joke and jest, and there's sarcasm, and it's really wonderful. And towards the end of the game, I got Brad to play along with. And at the end of the game, there's multiple different outcomes. There's outcomes where Taylor can die pretty early on if you make the wrong choice. So it's like a choose your own adventure game. For us, we ended up having Taylor survive the ordeal. And the people who create the games, the 3-minute games, have now come up with a continuation of the story with Taylor. And so Taylor is now on a space explorer. Actually, no, I guess it's more of a cargo, little cargo ship. So anyway, he's been rescued. He's on a ship. He's alive. And in out on this ship, there's another craft that gets the signal or gets a message that they need to go check out the planet. It's like a military unit. And they were told, hey, we just rescued this guy. You need to go down there and check things out. They get down there. Spoiler alert, there's aliens. I know. And the game pretty much picks up from there, and it still includes Taylor. So you can just kind of get the idea that the thing with the aliens back on the moon is not no longer contained on the moon. It's now managed to get on the ship. And so you're having Taylor having to navigate and figure out his way around this unfamiliar ship. And of course, like I said, it's like in real time. So if Taylor says he's going to go to sleep, you're probably not going to hear from him for several hours unless something happens. So it's not like a, ooh, I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to play it straight through, you know, within a couple of hours. It's like, oh, I'm going to pick it up and spend 2 minutes, respond, and Taylor's busy. I'll check on it later. So, but it's really cool. And to me, that gives you more of a connection to the character because you're, you know, having to kind of check on things and be like, ooh, Taylor's up. Ooh, Taylor's doing this. Ooh, Taylor just discovered aliens or whatever the case may be. So, no, highly recommended. So far, I haven't played it all the way through the new game as of yet, but so far I'm really enjoying it and recommend it if you've played the first one and want to continue in Taylor's adventure or misadventure.
All right. How many flying saucers?
I would give it... Ooh.
Ooh.
There's a good question. I'm like, ooh, do I give it 4? Do I give it 5?
4.5.
For now, I'll give it 4. I need to play through the whole story and see how I feel in the end. But for now, I'm giving it 4. Feeling pretty good about it so far. And it's available for both Android and Apple. I believe the cost for this was, I think, $2.99? $1.99. Okay.
Pretty reasonable.
So it's a couple bucks.
Not too bad.
No, it's not too bad. I think the first one I downloaded for free because Apple had a special on it. And so now I think the first one's 99 cents, which is Lifeline, if people are interested in starting from the beginning and see how far can you get.
This could be a whole thing. This could go on for a long time.
It could, but yeah, I've really enjoyed it so far. So I like the concept. And I recommend it. It's like I said, it's one of those games where you can pick it up, play it for like a couple minutes or a minute or however long it takes to respond, and then Taylor goes off and does whatever he says he's gonna do. And then you get updates. So sometimes you have to do some pep talking because, you know, shit's going south. But
come on, man, you can do it. Suck it up.
Yep. So, but yeah, I enjoy it. So there you go.
All right. My pick is definitely a pick, not a warning. It's the new Doctor Who spinoff show called Class. Now, you guys don't have it yet in the States. Canada has been lucky enough to get it early. I don't know what the deal
is. Can you say that again, but with your pinky up, please?
What? Oh.
You guys don't have it in the States yet. Mm-hmm. I need to wear my pince-nez for that. I'm just giving you crap, Dave.
I know. I didn't mean to rub it in. I'm just saying that's the reality. You could totally watch it if you got a VPN. You could figure out other ways of obtaining it. I'm just saying legally, all right, the UK has it. Canada has it. BBC America, I don't know what their deal is. They're waiting till spring. I think it's stupid. Anyways.
Well, I wonder if they're trying to time that around the time of Doctor Who.
That could be.
Because Doctor Who is supposed to premiere in April.
Yeah. You might be right.
I may be crazy.
Okay, so I could be as vague or specific as you'd like. What do you guys want to do?
I like vague if it's something that I'm interested in watching.
Okay, so think Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but with like aliens and in the Doctor Who universe.
What?
So class takes place at Coal Hill Academy. You know the school. It was seen in the
Clara's school.
Yeah, and it goes back even further than that. It was the very first place where the very first doctor, the Doctor Who episode, 1963.
Susan went to school.
Yeah, Susan Foreman went to school there. So it's got a long history in the Doctor Who universe, and it's back in this show, and it's this group of students who are dealing with an anomaly that has cropped up at the school because of so much activity that's taken place there. So things happen. Again, going back to the Buffy the Vampire Slayer analogy, think of the Hellmouth, how everything kind of just spewed out of the Hellmouth, or things were attracted to the Hellmouth. It's the same concept, just in a different form in this show. A lot darker than I thought it would be originally. Like, there's a lot of violence. Like, I'm amazed. Like, it's darker and more violent than Doctor Who is. So this is... Okay, because, you know, originally Doctor Who was meant to be educational, sort of. At least that was the original purpose, original envision of BBC. And it's turned into more of a sci-fi fun show, but pretty much stayed sort of geared towards all ages. This is geared towards more like young adults. So very hip, a lot of violence. Like, it's like I said before, it's really, really dark. And this episode deals with some aliens that come along and they want to take advantage of certain people in their, I don't know, mourning, or they're vulnerable people. So they want to steal something from these humans. And they're coming through that thing that I told you about. I'm trying to stay really, really vague. And you guys may forget by the time this episode comes around. So
who are you?
Excellent.
What? Oh, sorry. Yes.
Okay. So it's an interesting way of looking at some of the characters' backstories. Like, you learn a lot more about their backstories through these aliens and through the way they're taking advantage of these characters. And it brings this group of people that are already close, even closer together. And it's really a good episode. So if you have the opportunity to watch the show now, watch it now. I highly recommend it. But maybe make a mental note or a note on your calendar for next spring. BBC America in the States will have class, and you'll get to watch episode 3, Night Visiting from Class. And that's my pick. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 flying saucers. So far, by the way, every episode deals with aliens. So if you're a fan of this podcast, you're going to love Class. Lots of aliens.
Excellent.
And speaking of Doctor Who, look what Brad has.
Now, I don't normally pick something that isn't a you know, some kind of media, but we have a Funko Pop problem, which I think we've firmly established in previous episodes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's only a problem. Never mind. Anyways, so what I ended up... Here's the story.
All
now,
about how?
Last night, we went to Hot Topic, and I really wanted the... there was a New York Comic Con special of, like, chromium looking Colossus. Now, Colossus of the X-Men, you got to see him in the Deadpool movie. He was also in X-Men 2. I believe he may have shown up. I still haven't seen X-Men 3. I have seen X-Men 3. What am I talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyways,
go on.
So I had to get that. And then Anessa looks at me and she goes, "Hey, did we ever pick up the Doctor Who Funkos that you ordered?" And I said, "Oh, crap, that's right. I ordered them." So what I'm going to do is I'm going to screen share again. This is very visual. This is the third series of Doctor Who Funkos that we ended up picking up. And now I'm going to screen share this with the folks that are checking us out on the YouTube. Now, I'm going to describe this also to our actual audio listeners. Now, in this particular series, they spanned the more recent Doctors. And the first Doctor is the David Tennant 10th Doctor with his hand that Torchwood grabbed for the meta crisis and kind of the beginning of the wrap up of David Tennant's run as the Doctor. So he's wearing his typical pinstripe suit, his chucks, and he's carrying a case which has his hand that was lopped off in the Christmas episode where we first got to meet the David Tennant version of the Doctor. The second Funko is from it's Mr. Clever. He's the Matt Smith Doctor, and he is the version of the Doctor who is kind of slowly being taken over by the Cybermen. He's got an infection of nanites, which is slowly trying to convert him into a Cyberman. The next Funko is, I believe it's from the premiere of the most recent season of The Doctor with the Peter Capaldi Doctor. And he is wearing his Ray-Ban sunglasses and he's holding a electric guitar.
Don't forget, Brad, he's Ray-Ban sunglasses that are also Sonic Screwdriver.
Next up, We have the supersized 6-inch Davros figure. Now, Davros is the quote-unquote father of the Daleks, and he is the Khaled scientist who ended up trying, in his own twisted way, tried to save the Khaled people by giving them protection and trying to convert them into basically soulless beings and put them into their own little personal tanks, thus creating the Daleks. Now, this is one of these 6-inch supersized Funko Pops. So this is, I'm not sure I agree with them making him that big, but it is well detailed. And for those of you who know or are familiar with Davros, he sits in basically what looks like the base of a Dalek. Of a Dalek, and it has a control panel that allows him to move around and also operate other bits of scientific equipment or whatnot. So there's plenty of levers, lights, and such that are represented on this particular Funko. But the big one that I really had my eye on is the War Doctor. And he was the Doctor that was introduced as William Hurt is played that particular incarnation of the Doctor. And now we finally have that Funko of his particular Doctor. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Now,
so this is my recommendation for folks that are into Doctor Who that would like to have representation of some of the more recent characters that have been on Doctor Who as of late.
Did you get all these, Brad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So brings your total of Funkos up to...
A lot more than before.
Okay.
We actually have not set... We're thinking about creating a spreadsheet so that we don't duplicate some of the Funkos that are hard to find that we end up finding because we think we have double purchased... We may have possibly double purchased the 12th Doctor with the Ray-Bans and the guitar that I mentioned.
You may have a problem.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Not going
to
lie.
When you create a spreadsheet to organize your collecting of something, you may have a problem.
Well, I did something sort of like that with my comic books. And as I've firmly declared in previous episodes, I still have about 6,000 comic books in my collection. So,
wow.
Yeah. I had a little bit of a, for some series where I wanted to fill in issues that I was missing, like Legion of Superheroes, I actually had a list that had a, what issues I was missing and what issues I should pick up if I wanted to actually fill in my collection. So there you go.
Well, it makes sense. I completely understand.
A little weird, but whatever.
All right. So to wrap things up here, how many flying saucers are you going to give this set of Funko Pops?
Oh, six. No, out of a scale, on a scale of 1 to 5, I'd go 5, but mostly because it's something that Anessa and I are incredibly interested in, and it's something that we enjoy collecting.
If you would like to chat with the hosts or other listeners of this Galactic Network podcast 24 hours a day, go to gncast.com/signup. We'll add you to our Slack team, so you'll have the ability to interact with us in real time. Again, go to gncast.com/signup.
So, my friends, that is going to do it for this episode, number 200 of the Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. Think about it, Brad. 200 episodes.
Yeah.
Go back in your mind to 2011. What were you doing? What was I doing? Where were we?
Well, you were living in Wausau, where the area where I live in. And I was still running the web department at Midwest Communications. I don't miss that. And let's see, you were...
I was unemployed. I was waiting for a new job.
You were unemployed, yeah.
That's how this whole...
podcasting was a good way for you to keep your hands into doing a form of radio, essentially.
That's how this whole thing started. So you can thank me getting canned for all this Galactic Network.
Thanks for canning Dave, man.
Thanks, Midwest Communications.
All right, so we want to thank Retchward von Dernberg, a composer from Germany, for providing our new closing music called Be Water. Learn more about him and his music at The Caravel, thecaravel.net. Thanks for joining us. Final thoughts, Brad.
We're still missing some Doctor Who Funkos from Series 2. We need Sarah Jane.
Okay, so if any listener has those, what's the address?
Well, even if you go to our, I think if you go to our Facebook page, it's down there. It's 5905 Edward Street. That's Edward singular in Weston, Wisconsin, 54476.
All right. Now.
I'm afraid.
Well, I mean, it's already posted on Facebook. I'm only.
Yeah.
Any suspicious packages that tick, I would I'd call the bomb squad.
I trust that our listeners will care about our well-being, and if they are able to help or, you know, whatever, that's welcomed.
And thank you in advance, dear listeners. You guys are the best. Seriously, I want to thank you guys for subscribing and listening for the past 200 episodes. I told myself I wasn't going to cry.
Aw, it's okay, Dave.
All right, Anessa, what's your final thought?
So apparently, on this day in 2011, I was listening to Anthony Stewart Head talk. I don't know what he was saying, but it was a Facebook status that I made. So that's what I was doing in 2011.
Was it an Anthony Stewart Head TED talk?
No.
Because that should be a thing.
Anthony Stewart Head TED talk. No, he's got what I would consider a phone book voice, where like it's just pleasant to listen to, and you wouldn't mind listening to it, like if you were reading the phone book. So
that's gonna do it for this episode of the Alien Invasion podcast.
But yeah, I don't know what I would have been listening to. Maybe I was rewatching Repo, the genetic opera. Who knows? Maybe I was watching Buffy. I don't know.
Okay.
So that's what I was doing in 2011, apparently.
And that's your final thought. Thank you, Anessa. And thank you, dear listeners. We'll talk to you next week. Have an awesome one. Till then, goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Adios.
No, come on. We're ending this the proper way.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's GNCASTS.com.